So thank you, guys. And I just want to say to you that the reason, like if you think about the passion that runs through this place, the excitement when it comes to Christmas, the worship, the celebration, all that we do, it really does come back to that song, the truth of that song, and what you heard our pastors praying. We actually really do believe that God walked among us, that God stepped into the story, not just to kind of hang out, but to change everything. I mean, that's it. It's everything for us. That's what the angel tells the shepherds. We talked about this last week. You know, when it just kind of busts into the story and says, listen, I'm bringing you good news, right? I mean, just look at this verse. It says, I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. Now, earlier, an angel, let's remember that word angel, an angel gives stunningly good news to an old priest doing his job in the temple. And he tells him, your prayers have been answered. You and your wife are finally going to have a baby. And that baby's going to grow up and be intricately involved with the arrival of Messiah. It was stunning. You want to talk about stunning news? An angel tells a young Jewish woman named Mary that she's going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. And then to back her story up, an angel tells her fiancé Joseph, yep, it's really all true. Angels are all over the story. In fact, by one count, there are 273 references to angels in your Bible. Like, that's a lot. From Genesis to Revelation, they're in the story, but they're all over Christmas. I mean, you can't hardly get into any of the Christmas narratives without bumping into an angel. But I was thinking about this. We get so familiar with the idea of angels that we may forget how, well, you tell me, the concept of angels is like what? Somebody fill in the blank. Like when you talk about angels, when you think about angels, just even thinking about the topic of angels, it is, somebody tell me in this section. It's beautiful. Okay, I love that. Somebody over here said something. It's what? Magnificent. It's magnificent. You guys are all great and powerful and Christmassy on this. What'd you say? Weird. It feels like a fairy tale. We don't know what's surreal. It's all of these things. And somebody's like, well, you can't say that about stuff from the Bible. I'm telling you right now, we need, well, here's what we can do. We can either talk about this or ignore it. Because if we're going to invite our friends in, like, in these next, however, you know, 13 and a half services we're having, you should come to one of the half services. We cram it all in there. You think I'd talk fast now? No. It's like, if we're going to invite our friends, then some of you are going, well, like, you're not going to go down the whole supernatural road, are you? Can't we just keep it warm and snuggly? Just tell us the tale of Christmas, Pastor. And we'll have hot cocoa and listen to some music and go home. We could do that. Or we could lean into the wonder and the strangeness of all of this, right? Can we just admit that some of us are so early into the story that we don't even know what to do with this? There's a professor of theology and culture, David O. Taylor. He describes the biblical Christmas stories as weird, incredible, bizarre, unsettling, fantastical, strange, disturbingly odd, decidedly troubling, and terrifying, yet life-giving. Now, some of you might look at all those and go, well, I think he's overstating it. I'm not so sure. If you look at the biblical story, I'm not so sure. Now, gang, if this is true, and I believe it is, then I think it's okay for us to lean into all of that and go, God, what are you saying? Because here's my prediction. If we will lean into this today, in particular, we're going to lean into this idea of angels, I think it could actually lead us to a kind of worship at the end that maybe we didn't expect, but it's what our souls are longing for today. So we could do that, or we could play it safe. What do you think? I say we go for it. I say we talk about this, and I promise you we're going to get to the familiar story. We're going to get to Christmas. In fact, the deeper into this angel thing you go, the more it loops you back to who Jesus is, the more it loops you back to what Christmas is about. And I think at the end of the end of the end, we might even bump into a scripture that you didn't even think was connected to Christmas. But for me, I can't get over it this Christmas. But let's start with this idea of angels. We all have this notion of what angels are, and a lot of it we get, let's just be honest, we get it from pop culture, we get it from tradition, we get it from what we heard somebody else say, we get it from, oh boy, we get it from everything from comic books to anime to black and white movies to just all of the medieval art. We get all of these things. It's like, oh yeah, so that's what angels are. I just want you to know, going in, I'm gonna keep coming back to what God's word says about angels. Now, you're not gonna get a definitive answer on all this. You just won't. We're in the realm of mystery here, okay? But I happen to believe that this book gives us truth and gives us the best chance at this. So what we'll do is we'll get some hints, we'll get some clues, we'll get some outright answers, but we'll also have some guardrails that'll keep us from like going off the, I don't know, too far. I was reading a blog post this past week of signs that angels are trying to communicate with you. And I was like, oh, well, I should probably read that. If you see a feather on the ground, if you see a coin on the ground, if you look up into the sky and you see clouds that begin to look like the shape of, yep, you guessed it, an angel, well, then an angel is trying to talk to you. And I immediately looked at that and said, well, that's just not, I can't connect that to scripture. I'm not gonna go down that road. I believe this book has external and internal validity. Skeptics, we can talk about that. I really do think this book is truth. And so it gives us some guardrails. But I want you to hear now the tension that we're gonna be in. I'm not gonna go so far out into fantastical land that some of you are like, well, that's weird. But we are gonna get stretched, because in this book, we are told about the mystery that we can't even fully explain. So let's do this. Would you just turn to the people around you now? We've been asking this question all week long on the social platforms here. What do you want to know about angels? If you could ask one question about angels, what would it be? I want you to hang out with each other. Pastors at the sites, you know how to ping me if something comes up and you want to let me know what's going on there. But would you talk to each other? What's the one question you want to know about when it comes to angels? Go ahead, talk. Okay, so I'm gonna keep in touch with our sites here on this, but like somebody over here, just somebody give me what's a question that you have about angels? Are guardian angels real? Let's come back to that. Yes, might have been the number one question on the socials this week. Are guardian angels real? Okay, anybody else got anything for me? Have I entertained an angel unawares? Anybody heard that before? That's Hebrews 13:5, by the way. So Hebrews 13:5 says, you should be hospitable towards people because you don't know, sometimes angels are moving in and around the story. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. Do they walk among us? Kind of connected to that. I think at times they might. Yes, ma'am. Are angels at the bedside of dying people? I'm going to say, because of a story Jesus tells in Luke chapter 16, that is quite possible. I do believe that angels are that. You ever been at the edge of eternity with a family member, a loved one, and you can kind of almost, oh God, the room is thick. I think that he cares for us in really specific ways in those moments. Ooh, okay, you guys are going there. One more, yes ma'am. Do we have our own angel? So kind of connected to the guardian angel business. Can we just start with a few things? And I'm gonna see if we've got anything more here. I'll keep an eye on this as it's coming through. But can I just start with this? We are in the realm of otherworldliness. Those of you who are barely in the faith, those of you who have been in the faith for a long time, those of you who are on the outside looking in, please understand, we are talking about something that has great mystery to it. There is a realm beyond what we can see. The way I always say it around here is there's more to all of this than all of this. John in Revelation chapter 4, if you'll remember, we talked about this last year, some of you. He enters into a realm of like spirit reality and what's going on. And he says, and I saw heaven opened up as a door. I think it's really important that he doesn't say, and God took me up into heaven. Like heaven is like there, like a long way there. He says it more like there is this other reality and I stepped into this that is around me. What am I saying? It sounds so difficult. But, and I promise, we're not gonna get into subatomic physics right now, though of course I am an expert. Not. But they're exploring and looking for like a theory that holds all of this together, because apparently when you look at the evidence, there are more than these three dimensions that we can see and perceive. And the Bible's been saying that all along. And these spirit beings dwell in this spirit. Now, do they step into our reality? Yeah, we see that. But there is something going on with them. Somebody said, what do they look like? Well, I don't know. We have ideas. I can tell you that in the script, let me tell you what they don't look like. They don't look like your Christmas card. Okay, they don't look like a chubby, cute little baby with rosy cheeks and a diaper sitting on a floaty cloud plucking a harp. The Bible knows of no such angel. These are majestic, mysterious beings, right? Now, there are seraphim and cherubim. We see them in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And these are winged creatures. So we know that some of them, like, and we are out there, but they attend the throne of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That, they're there. But then there are other angels that have these other assignments. And sometimes, I don't know. We do see them step into history. And sometimes they appear to be human. They're not. But they appear to be human. But when they appear to be human, one of the things the New Testament tells us is they're like brilliantly, blindingly, like bright. It's like, why wouldn't they be? They just stepped out of God's glory into this 3D world. Do our loved ones, here we go. Do our loved ones become angels? Now, that's the number one question we got on the socials this week. I'm not surprised that we're getting them. Guys, I want you to hear me as tenderly as I know how. I want to answer this question, and then we're going to start moving towards y'all's question here, okay? Because I think it's really important. I understand the longing. I understand the loss. I understand the heartache when we lose someone, and we're like, gosh, it just feels so much better thinking and knowing that he or she is with me and they're watching me and they're my angel. And guys, I just want to say this as tenderly as I know how. According to scripture, the answer is no. Two different orders of created beings. Angels are created. They're not eternal. They're created. They're created. Somebody said, like, how long have they been around? A long time. Longer than humanity. Longer than the formation of the world. They were there. They're still there. Like Gabriel speaks to the prophet Daniel in the 6th century BC, and he's in the story when Jesus is born. They've seen a lot. But two separate orders of created beings. Angels don't become humans. They can appear as a human when they walk among us, but we don't become angels when we die. You know what the Bible says? If you love Jesus, if you trust Jesus, you are with Jesus when you die. That's the promise. That's what you want. If your loved one trusts Jesus, they're with Jesus. That's what you want. But gang, I get it. I get the longing. I get the heartache. I know what it's like when you are, man, it's happened, right? I think I heard his voice. I swear they were in the next room. Not there. Guys, I'm just telling you. Now, some of you kind of look at that and go, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I can't wait to clue my Aunt Matilda in this Christmas. Because she just keeps talking about how Uncle Billy is her angel on her shoulder and blah, blah, blah. Listen to me. When was the last time that you going into any conversation with your theological guns blazing, when did that ever work? I want you to walk into that. If it were me, I'd walk into that conversation not trying to win an argument. I would walk in knowing what it is to lose someone and to feel grief. And I would be saying things like, did you know the Bible talks about God being the God of all comfort? Did you know the Bible promises that God moves in close to the brokenhearted? That God will never leave you nor forsake you. That's where I'd go. Okay, so the last big question that we heard here and here, and it's really coming up there, is do we have guardian angels? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. So let's stand for closing prayer now that we cleared everything up. No. Let me tell you this. There are a couple of scriptures, Psalm 91, and he will give his angels charge over you. He will command his angels to guard you, is what some of your translations will say. Can you give us Matthew 18:10? See that you do not despise one of these little ones. Now, what Jesus is talking about there is these are his little ones, his children, his followers. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So they have angels. Wait, what? Well, you can't build out a whole doctrine on this. But if you want to know what angels do, they praise God. They do his bidding. They wage war in the heavenlies. That whole spiritual realm, I'm telling you, there are forces of darkness and there are forces of light. Those forces of darkness are angels that were created, that chose to rebel against God and seal their fate. And I am telling you, in the spiritual realm, there is a battle between light and darkness, between God's angels and the demonic. It happens. And one of the things that God does is he uses these angels to send us messengers. Messages. That's what the word actually angel means. It means messenger. Angelos in the Greek, it means messenger. But he has these angels serve and protect us. Can you give us Hebrews 1? I think it's 1:14. I gave him a few verses because I knew a couple of these things were going to come up. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Those who will inherit salvation. That's us, we who turn to Jesus. So angels, part of what they do is they do God's bidding. Part of what they do is they praise God. They do war in the heavenlies, these magnificent warriors of light. But part of their job is to serve and to protect us. And then you get that verse from Jesus, you know, it's like, so do we have guardian angels? I don't know. I can't build a whole doctrine out of it. But what I can do is see that he has charged these angels with serving and protecting us. You know what that means? That means that whenever it doesn't matter how outgunned or how outmaneuvered or how outmanned I am, there is a God in heaven who loves me so much that at his word, he can dispatch these titans, these colossal beings to help me. And you're like, Greg, that sounds pretty freaky. Give me one example. I'm walking in a very narrow alley in India. I've told some of you this. My daughter was in front of me. One of our pastors was behind me. And this guy picks me out. Me. Why me? Picks me out to start saying some of the most demonic and dark things you can imagine. Trying to curse me and to curse my family. I got my girl 5 feet in front of me hearing all of this. We can't escape. We're in this little alley. You know what I did? I didn't pray to an angel because it's not like a genie in a bottle. I prayed to the God that they listen to because their face is always turned towards him. That's what'll keep you from worshiping them. It's not them. It's Jesus. It's always Jesus. I prayed to the God of the universe. I prayed for help. I prayed for deliverance. And I prayed that he would push back the darkness. And I'm telling you, physically, I saw this guy silenced, confounded, and pushed back. He did not know what to do. Not because of me, but because the God of the universe said, you won't do this alone. I'm just telling you some of this stuff. Maybe you haven't experienced, but it's real. It's real. It's real. So that's angels, magnificent celestial beings who do the bidding of God Almighty. And for some reason, he says, I'm going to use these angels to get stuff done in the world, and they're going to watch over you, and they're going to protect you, but they'll do my bidding, not yours. Okay. Tell you what, why don't you turn back to each other and say, well, that was more than I expected today. And then see if you can come up with like one song that we haven't sung that has the word angels in it. That's it. Just take a breather. Go. No, seriously, go.
silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light, the hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim.
Okay, so first of all, I love hearing that sound and that vibe. And Ryan, you can bring that back anytime you want and just kind of splash a little country goodness on that. Darnell, when you were singing that song, and I'm going to get some of these words wrong, but I know I'm going to put you on the spot on this, but it's the angels watch with wondering love. So these angels are watching over this whole thing with wondering love. What does that mean? I think we need to understand that these angels watching this Christmas thing unfold had their own sense of awe going on. I know we get into like thinking of who they are, and we should, and kind of, how big is God? But I believe the angels were full of their own sense of awe and wonder when they saw this story unfold. Let me tell you what I mean. I'm going to let you guys go. Please come back. When it says here, so the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, Tim did such a great job with that last week, didn't he? We had so much fun with that. And the angel appears, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Maybe now we can begin to appreciate what that's like. So you have a being who dwells in the presence of the unapproachable light and glory of God. And this angel steps into our little old 3D world. That'd have been something, don't you think? No wonder that they're terrified. No wonder that the first thing they always say is, don't freak out. And so this happens. I'm bringing good news. We've read this verse so many different times. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. Suddenly, you guys remember the jump scare from last week, right? Boom! And it would get your attention like that did for some of you. I did that last night, and I think somebody spilled their coffee. Which I'm not so sure that the angels didn't spill their coffee that night, right? So something like that is happening, but it gets their attention. And then we read these words, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. I want you to see how all of this now comes rushing into a moment of worship for the end of our service. Let's just break this down. So when we, first of all, we see this idea of a great company. Well, when you think of great company, what do you think of? Well, first of all, you're thinking of what's happening this week, some of you, and you're like, well, they better not bring up certain topics. They better not eat or drink too much. They better leave on time, amen, right? There's just that moment. That's great company. Listen, it's been a while since I've shared this. I'm your pastor. I want to help. But some of you, I had an Uncle Gene. This is an all-time great line. You are welcome to use it. People here have seen me. I haven't really used it, but it's people would overstay their welcome at his house. I watched him do this. He would look at his wife and say, Frida, we need to go to bed. We're keeping these people from going home. Now, you use that at your own peril this week, but that's not the kind of great company we're talking about. Great company just simply means what you think it means. Big, lots. Lots. A heavenly host. What is that? It's a military term. Now that you know that these are warriors doing the bidding of God Almighty, warring in the heavenlies, that's who we're talking about, guys. I can't even imagine what they look like, but I'm going to tell you what, it's real. They're real. And there is a host of them. How many? Job says, like, can his forces be numbered? It's a rhetorical question. They can't be. Happens in the book of Hebrews. It happens in the book of Daniel, where we see in chapter 7, Daniel gets this glimpse of what's happening around the throne of God. It's an Aramaic term. Atik Yomin, the Ancient of Days. And what he says is, I saw thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now, he's not giving us an exact number. Anytime you see thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, that's a Hebrew way of saying you can't even think of how many. It's an unimaginable number. I want you to just try. 10,000, no, more, 100,000, I don't know, millions of these colossal beings gathered around God declaring his grandeur and his majesty. Come on. A heavenly host. Wouldn't you think, like, most, if not all of the angels got a chance to celebrate that night? I mean, wouldn't you, it would have been like, oh, wait, I didn't get that assignment? I mean, I think the sky was full. And they are declaring the glory of God, but it says that they're celebrating this peace business. Peace, what does that mean? Sometimes we talk about, well, it's just peace on earth. No, it's peace between God and humanity. It's peace that comes to those on whom his favor rests. What does that mean? Now we're at it. It's those who have received his grace, his mercy. What you want is peace with God, and what these angels are celebrating is there is now a way for humanity to be reconciled with God. That's what they're celebrating. A Messiah has been born. How long do you think the Jewish people have been waiting for this? How long do you think that they have been longing for these fulfillments, these prophecies, these promises to come rushing together? And on this night, it's happening. They are declaring, this is it. It's all coming down into this one person, this Messiah, the Lord. Now, that's a very interesting way to say things, because Lord means boss. It means the one who's in charge of everything. But in a thoroughly Jewish way, it is also a way to say the word God without ever saying the name God out of reverence, which they wouldn't do. So instead, you would say Lord. So what are these angels saying? It's really curious here. What they're saying is what you think they're saying. He is Messiah, the fulfillment of all. But somehow, guys, you need to know the eternal God, the high King of heaven, is this baby. He has reduced himself into human frame. He is stepping into the story. Y'all, he's right there. It's the same thing the angel told Mary. You're going to give miraculously, you're going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. So this is what they're celebrating. This is what's going on. It's all happening. And gang, please hear me on this. The reason I mentioned to you, somebody asked from Fenton, like, so how long have these guys been around? A long time. But they're finite. They're not infinite. But they preceded us in the story. So they've seen it all. Now I want you to think about this. They were there when God formed the mountains and the seas. They were there when God formed man and woman in his image. They were there in the beauty of that early part of the story. They were there in the heartbreaking moment when humanity rebelled against God. They were there when God said, you can't live here anymore. In fact, some of them were actually given an assignment to keep humans from coming back into the garden as they were banished. They were there when God promised, even in his heartache, I will make a way back for you. Y'all will have a way back. I am going to bring one into the story, born of a woman who will crush the head of evil. They were there for all. They were there for the birth of Israel. They were there for the rescue of Israel, this massive exodus that was all God's. They were there. They were there for what happened at Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses. They were there. They were there during the heartache of the exile. They were there when the prophets promised, this is not the end of you. They were there through it all, and now they get to see this. They are at the edge of all of this, and it's all coming together. Remember, they're not infinite. They're not all-knowing beings. only God could see through all of the heartache and the hope, how he was going to put all of these details and promises and prophecies together, and they would all narrow down to this one little boy. And now they're seeing it happen, and they are undone. It's happening. What do they say? A Savior has been born. Now, you may not think you need a Savior. Right? I mean, if we're going to be really honest, some of you are like, I just can't get into this story because I don't know that I need a Savior. Friends, let me just say this clearly. I am well familiar with the I'm the boss of me syndrome. I'm just telling you, it never works out. I'm just telling you that you ought to kind of chew on that and maybe have a gut check moment this week. Maybe when you're having one of those stare at the ceiling sessions at night going, what does all of this mean? You see, these angels were witness to all of humanity, the history of humanity. And one thing we humans have made very clear from the beginning up till right now is that we are a mess. And we make messes. And we leave messes. And we need a Savior. And I don't think any of us want to stand before a holy God on our own. And the good news of Christmas is we don't have to. A Savior has been born who is Messiah, God in the flesh. These angels are beginning to see something that some of us can barely imagine, which is this. You are loved that much. That's why they cut loose. And can we just say this one more time? We've been saying it through this whole series. They're doing this together. If you look at all of this, man, they're excited. And they get to do it together. One more time. Celebrating Christmas is better together. The worship is louder. The laughter is deeper. The joy is lasting because we're doing it together. So earlier this year, Robin and I are blessed to be in Alaska to do some fly fishing, and you know, you get up early, it's light most of the time, and you know, you're waiting for things to get dark, you sleep, you get up, all those things. But we're one day, the guy who is cooking for us there on the river in these cabins, he says, hey man, I got up really early because I had to get, you know, breakfast ready for you guys, and I saw the Northern Lights. And we're like, man, I'd love to see the Northern Lights. You don't usually see them at this time of year that we were up there. But who wouldn't want to, maybe some of you have experienced this. It's a phenomenon where there are these solar flares, these blasts, and they push particles into certain parts of our atmosphere, and then the light begins to refract and to bend, and it is a sight to behold. And we're like, oh, this is awesome. He said, well, I saw them about 4 o'clock in the morning. And everybody looked at each other and said, we're doing this. We're getting up at 4 in the morning. It's a couple hours earlier than we normally get up for fishing. We're doing this. Let's do it. So we all agreed to it, right? We're all there with friends. I woke up at 2 in the morning. I was like a kid on Christmas Eve. I was like, I can't believe we're going to. So I go out. Our cabin's on the river there. And so I get out, like, you know, it was cold. I put a blanket around me, and I just like, I got to go see if this has already started because it's dark. And sure enough, you're beginning to see just these little splatches of, like, paint across the stars. I was like, oh, it's happening. So I go back inside. I'm like, Robin, it's happening. Like, you can see it now. And she goes, is it already 4 in the morning? I said, no, it's only 2 in the morning. But don't you want to get up with me? Just throw a blanket on, and we'll look at it together like before, and it'll be great. And my wife, who is so filled with faith and trusting that God would bless her later, said to me very clearly, I am absolutely not getting out of this bed for 2 more hours. And you know what? Good call. She was right. Because it got better. And these pictures I took were really just like on my little old iPhone. I wish I'd have had some of the gear I wouldn't know how to use it that our guys have. But I began to just look at all of this and to see this is just like, this doesn't do justice to it. It's like a rainbow at night, and it just keeps moving and morphing, and it's like God is painting with light, and you're like, ah, oh. And it was awesome, and she was right. We should have waited till 4, but you know what else made it better? I got to celebrate it with her and my friends, and for the next hour, we stood out there cold, each of us with like blankets on, laughing and crying and taking pictures and praising God, because it's better when we celebrate together, amen? So I think the angels that night would have agreed with me. It's just better to celebrate together. Now, I have no idea what it looked like. I can't imagine what it sounded like, but I am trying to imagine. And so, Aaron, if you're here, I would love for you to just come join me. Aaron is, he's oversees all of our programming, the music, the tech, all of these things are our staff, our volunteers, and you're a noted composer. And so I said to you earlier this week, I said, hey, like if you could like imagine what it sounded like that night, like what would you do? What comes out of your head and into your fingers? And so would you mind just like, just riff, just play with this. And I'd love to just hear, you know, you know, what's interesting is that there is a debate among some theologians if angels sing. This is what smarty tardies talk about. Because in the text, you never see the verb for sing applied to angels. But I think if you think about it, and others have said this, that singing is really a form of speaking. You're just using tonality, right? It's a different form of singing. And so I just wonder. So, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? John gets a glimpse of a worship service going on in the heavenlies in the book of Revelation. And he says, I see these angels, thousands, times 10,000s. Now you know what that means now, right? So it's John saying, I can't even put a number on it. And what are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I don't know what that sounded like. In the text, it's inferred that they were singing. And so you'll see in a lot of your translations that it's translated, and they sang, worthy is the Lamb. This is me talking. I wonder if one of the reasons we don't even see that verb applied to angels is that our brains and our hearts couldn't stand it if we heard angels sing. I don't know. I know what it sounds like when creation sings. I know what it sounds like when the woods wake up in the morning, like right before dawn. I know what it sounds like when you start to hear spring happening, like around you, and you're like, oh, there it is. I know what it sounds like when the waves crash against the shore. I know what the rumble of thunder is. I know what sounds come out of nature, like the roar of a lion or the trumpet of an elephant or the bugle of an elk, or when you hear the ducks coming in low and close. I mean, I know all of those sounds. I know what it sounds like when a puppy with his fat paws is trying to catch traction on a hard floor. I know all of those sounds, and I'll tell you what I know these days. I know the sound of a little one who is finding his own voice, and he is learning how to sing. I know all of those sounds, but I don't know what it sounds like. I just know that Revelation chapter 5 says, and this is John just saying, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircled the throne and the living creatures and elders, and in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And he's worthy of receiving all of it, glory and honor and power. It's all his. But gang, I want you to understand the reason that the angels are singing is because this is the High King of Glory. But please understand, we're past Christmas now. They have seen not just the birth of Jesus, they have seen his perfect life. They were there when he was betrayed. They ministered to him in the garden. Jesus said, I could have called legions of angels to rescue me, but he didn't. They were there when he died. There were angels that were there and announced his resurrection. There were angels as Jesus ascended into the heavens who told his disciples, go, go, now tell his story. Do you know why they were so undone that night at Christmas? Because the Son of God turned out to be the Lamb of God who died so that we could become the children of God. And if you want to know about angels, they are undone with how much we matter to God. So much so that the last verse I will leave with you is a New Testament writer who said, they are so fascinated with this. He said, these are the things that angels long to look into. Angels look at the story of your salvation. Angels who have seen an awful lot say, how God must love these people. So if they can be that undone by how much we are loved, don't you think this Christmas we could, I don't know, celebrate? Don't you think it's time for us to begin to invite other people into this? Don't you think it's time for us to begin to consider what it is to worship? Listen, I want some of you to know. For some of you, honestly, you've heard this story so many times. Be careful, because you can hear a story so much that you build up an immunity to it. But this could be the moment when you turn the corner in your journey and you accept this Jesus. I pray that happens this Christmas, where you say in your own way, in your own words, I confess you as Lord. I believe you are God. Forgive me, lead me, and he'll do it. For some of you, quite honestly, you're going through stuff and you're trying to figure out how you're going to navigate this next week or this next year. And I just want you to remember, whether this is a new struggle or an old one or something just that is just not even a struggle, but it's an opportunity, just understand how you are the beloved. Understand you do not do this alone. You don't have to do this alone. You see, I couldn't think of a better way for us to enter into this. Come on out, guys. I couldn't think of a better way for us to enter into this week than to take communion together in the context of worship. So for those of you who believe, for those of you who have received God's grace, I'm going to ask you just hang on to those elements. We're not going to take them quite yet. And if you'll allow me to just sort of suggest this, I would ask that you just hang on even as the worship begins. Would you just kind of sit there and receive it and allow the wonder to stir, allow the imagination to stir. I would love to just give you these elements, singers, because we're going to take this together in just a minute and we will remember the sacrifice. Our musicians have these elements already. Here you go. It says that whenever we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death until his return. That's what we do. We proclaim what we just talked about, that God came for us, that God did this for us. That's what these elements will do. They will remind us in just a moment of how much Jesus gave to make things right. They will remind us that this word Savior is more than a word. That's what we will do together. But there will come a day when he returns. You see, that's what the verse is. We will proclaim his death until he returns. And I look forward to that day, and I look forward to that hearing that angel worship. But gang, I don't want to wait. I think we could join him now, those angels, and we could worship him now. Amen? So in a minute, we'll take the elements. But for now, let's worship the King.